Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
.net, Giovanni's Produce Store, El Cerrito, California, 510-235-1233 is one of the sponsors. Our new sponsor is Reality Sports Group in Reston, Virginia. Other sponsors are the New England Informer magazine, with Doreen Wade, CEO, Boston, Massachusetts, Michael Lewis Ingram from BASN, and Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, Saturday afternoons and Wednesday nights on blogtalkradio.com. You can call 718 718-508-9216. That's 718-508-9216. Get your Canadian, Philadelphia, New York groove on with the Soul Patrol. Soul Tree Radio in the raw. May my second radio home, WCLM 1450, with Sports Talk by Cowboy Reggie and the Sports Talk crew. The little old mystery man on Saturday afternoon. He will make you smile, he'll make you laugh with music of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Listen to WCLM 1450 and WCLMRadioOnline.com. The heart and soul of Richmond, Virginia. Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba from WUFO, 1080 Buffalo, New York. Young star Travis Singleton and his Kicks for Grades in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. If your kids are getting A's in school, then contact Travis on Facebook.com. Listen to Brother Anthony Johnson on The Anthony Johnson Show on Saturday at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern Time. Political Fools for the Soul. Remembering Roland Rogers, CEO of BASN in New York City, and the family of BASN writers and broadcasters. Cannot forget the 707 and 609 for their support. Want to be a sponsor? Check in the Code Caravan email. You can email Gary N. Gray at blackathlete.com or nars19@att.net. Join the Cold Caravan, the Soul Patrol, Pad Nation, WCLM on Facebook.com. Please visit our website, www.blackathlete.com, and get a different look at the sports world. You'll be surprised at what you find. Call the Gray Leopard Code at 646-727-3649. That's 646-727-3649. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, thank you. As we begin March Madness, also has to take the Bat New Network, Better Man Network, on the BASN Network. Today is what we call the 8 major conferences will get their crown today. We go Friday night, right? NCAA men, North Carolina Central versus Delaware State today, and Norfolk State at an hour today. The MEAC semifinals. Bethune-Cookman College is at Grambling, and Texas Southern is at the Southern A&M for a swing. Somebody bottoms. Men's in the Big East, St. John continues their role as if St. John loses to UConn, and UConn continues their role. UNC moves to the championship game today as they beat Pittsburgh last night. Today they play North Carolina State at about 5:30 Pacific time. The Oregon Ducks upset the Arizona Wildcats. volunteers. And now they have to wait to see if they get a number one or two seed on Sunday at 3 p.m. On the ladies' side, NBC, the Drake Lady Bulldogs, getting their role as they beat up Indiana State 79-57, and they're going to be a fair in the NCAA. The Panthers of Northern, University of Northern Iowa stood by Illinois State. So, today, Drake and Northern Iowa probably play for the championship. MEAC ladies, Northern State blew up CSU. 73-44. Howard defeat North Carolina Central. 69-56. And Howard will meet Norfolk State later on today. Swank, Alcorn, up as the number one Dragon League Tigers. 59-51. Now I have to wait to see if they even get in. The Princeton Lady Tigers of the Ivy League will be the Penn Quakers of the Ivy League. 59-54. And let's add to that day today. Auburn, number four, being Mississippi State, 73-56, for the SEC title, and Wisconsin upset Purdue, 76-75 for the Big Ten tournament, and most likely Purdue will be in, and this is where they're going to go. NBA, Luka's hamstring will be out, and Curry's ankle will be out. More players will come back on next week as we get down to 17 games left to go in the season. Now we're trying to get placing. Where we're going to go. Who's going to be number one? Who's going to be number 10? Most likely Denver will win the West. And East and the Boston Celtics are glad about themselves. Last night, we used to the Royal United Clippers. 112-104. In the NHL, the Los Angeles Kings set out the Chicago Blackhawks on Kopitar and Kempe Mirage. And they scored 2 points each. The Kings win 5-0. The Jets blew up the Anaheim Ducks on 2 the Bowling goals. In the third period, and the NHL begins to wind down their season, getting ready for the playoffs. Indian Wells ending this week. Go grab a good match. And I gotta get to the score. I gotta buy the score. For Indian Wells to wind down this weekend, this Sunday will be last. And they begin their new season. Djokovic also pulled out of the tournament. So, it's an interesting season already. Our PGA, the Players' Championship leaders, or moving that wind of God leads by four strokes over Xavier Zeller and Nick Taylor. LPGA they're off. NASCAR, they will drive a Bristol Tennessee tomorrow afternoon. And in Formula One, they're off today, off before they head to Asia. Alright, there you go. It's Friday night lights. Friday night lights, as you know, 3 o'clock today on CBS. 3 o'clock tomorrow, 3 o'clock tomorrow. We won't know who we're going where and when. Women, we'll be at 4 o'clock on CBS and at 3:30 on ESPN. Alright, take a break, come back with the long, long news of the week.
Thank you.
the Lady Drake Bulldogs and the UAI Lady Panthers, Missouri Valley Championship Battle, overtime with Drake 84, UAI 95. 84-75 going to the 3-minute mark of the overtime. Number one, Drake Bulldogs in the conference. If they lose this game, they might not be able to get in. So Lady Bulldogs, you gotta do their due. Underscores, Fairfield 87, Nathan. Cindy Moore, Buffalo 77, Toledo 74. On the ladies' side, Niagara Purple Eagles, 33 and the Fairfield Stags, 22 as those ladies going on. Later on today for the MEAC Championship, Norfolk is at Howard. Norfolk has run the table again. 24-5. And undefeated in conference this year. News of the week. This is going to be a long segment here because there's a lot of stuff here. I'm getting ready for the weekend. Stop, because there's so much stuff going on this week. Because of the NCAA tournament. And a lot of schools are firing their coaches at the end of the season. Championship weekend in the NCAA. University of Michigan football program hired their first black coach. Sherrod Moore taking over from Mr. Harbaugh. He won the last four games of the season in Harbaugh's absence suspension. Well deserved, Sherrod Moore. So that is Los Angeles Dodgers and San Diego Padres will open in South Korea with the Korea Bowl. It'll be 3 games in South Korea. Russell Wilson was, and this surprised me, was signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he will most likely start for the Steelers in a Mike Tomlin system. I think this will work. Baker Mayfield, God bless him, signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, three-year contract. And Baker proved to be the easy guy because he claimed that he was not. Mike Jones edited the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he won't start. Morehead State. Congratulations to Morehead State. They become the first team into the Big Dance Win Ohio Valley Conference. Linwood Lancers are back in the Big Dance after 20 years on the Big South Conference. Stetson, Novus Dancing, and Asian Conference with Jeff Batman 43 points over Ogden Bay, 94-91 on the last second shot. On the women's side, the Redmond Spiders defeat Rhode Island Rams, 65-51. And Eagle defenseman Fletcher Cox retires. NHL suspends Bobby Bryant head coach. Two games, but not leaving the best way he's supposed to. NBA also fired Rudy Gobert, $1,000, for making the money down, money down after the foul would go on him. Monday, the NFL, free agents are flying all over the place. This is going to be a mess. Everybody take the uniforms for this year. Cousins goes to Atlanta. Wilson goes to Pittsburgh. Barkley goes to the Eagles. Mayfield goes to Tampa Bay. And that's just a few of the names. I am really surprised that the New York Football Giants do what they did, and let the only offense of last year go to the Eagles. I think they just gave the Eagles the Super Bowl championship because now they have a balanced attack. Major League Baseball is 3 weeks away, and people are still scrambling to get pitchers. The American League will be fun because everybody in the American League will play. National League is a 2-team race. I think it's a 2-3-team race. Atlanta Braves and the LA Dodgers are always really good, two good teams. The Mets are a distant third. And this is why baseball is, there's too many super teams. And the super teams like the Dodgers, Atlanta, both New York can buy up all the players, and baseball guys have to change that. Good to see Ron Watson back in baseball, so we can teach baseball to kids. Back in the old Negro days, good to see Ron Watson back in the bowl of Major League Baseball. With the Cowboy Angels, and the Angels will be much better than what they were last year. The A's, I don't know what they're doing, but they're trying to move out of the Coliseum. I'd be surprised if they get 9,000 people in that stadium every game. Because they really turned the fan base off of the Yoga Coliseum. And the A's can't wait to get out to Las Vegas. Tuesday, New York Ranger Matt Reffy gets suspended and fined for hitting New Jersey Devil Jonathan Siegel-Duggar in the head with a mean cross-check. This guy is just easy to be playing. Matt Reffy should not be playing because he doesn't do that. He never should be doing it on the ice. The ice is dangerous as it is already. What are you doing? This is what Rodgers, Joy Mr. Rodgers as a release. Dinky Bunker, I think what Dinky Barber, I think what Bunker are at each other. Dinky Bunker says, think what Bunker is dead, think what Bunker has a lot of the New York Giants records running. What are you talking about, Dinky? I mean, he was a Giant, you can't deny that. Yeah, he's an Eagle now, but that's what, you can't play Dinky Barber. You can't play Saquon Barkley with that. And that's the management. But you won't go out of there, will you? Because you get paid by management. Thanks very much. Derrick Henry goes to Baltimore, I guess. And like I said, that division is gonna be a bear. Now the Ravens have a valid attack. I would be surprised if we see a bird Super Bowl. What I mean is the Baltimore Ravens against the Philadelphia Eagles. I got a Super Bowl or a Bird Bowl. With the Ravens and Eagles. The Joker, no matter how Djokovic loses, the big rookie, Luka Doncic and Indian Wells, LA Dodger and New York, ex-LA Dodger, New York Mets, Charles Strawberry as a minor. Heart attack is recovering this week in Los Angeles. We send them, we can have a call, send them great wishes. Former Goldie and Don Carter, God bless them, once again want to try another hockey team in Atlanta. As you know, Atlanta lost two hockey teams before. The Atlanta Flames and Atlanta Thrashers. The Flames are now the Calgary Flames. And the Thrashers are now the new Winnipeg Jets. If Washington, D.C. can do it for baseball, you can put Atlanta can do it for hockey. So, I wish Anthony Carter all the best. As he tries to get another team in the Atlanta inner city area. And here we go, the firing of all the basketball coaches begin this week. Louisville fired coach Kenny Payne after losing to Syracuse 94-92 and have a 17-point lead. Oakland, the College of Oakland, wins this first game. Oakland of Detroit. Going to the dance the first time in 25 years. As they beat Milwaukee with a rising league tournament. For the 14th time, and this is rerun. The Gonzaga Bulldogs against the St. Mary's Gales will play each other. These two teams will pass the historic ACC team. North Carolina and Duke. They will equal the number of championships. 14. Gonzaga and St. Mary's. And also St. Mary's won that. They will be going dead. They finally beat the dog on Friday. Jimmy G gets released by the Raiders, and he signs with the LA Rams. That dude cannot get off the West Coast. Good luck to Jimmy G. Hope he does well in LA. Backing up Matthew Stafford. On Thursday, tampering charges against the Eagles were as a bargain. That will be investigated this week. The New York football Giants lose both of their offensive stars. Twinkle Toes. Mr. Jones, Danny Jones, Twinkle Toes, he got to do it all by himself. I don't think he can do it. Atlanta Falcons trade QB winner to Arizona. Oklahoma State basketball fire Mike Bryson after 7 years. Vanderbilt fires Jerry Stackhouse after blowing 14-point lead in the SEC tournament at a 9-23 season. Stanford Cardinals fire Gerard Hayes after losing to Washington State 29-32 and not making the Big Dance for 9 years. On Friday, the big news, Aaron Donald retires, and that leaves a big hole for the LA Rams defense. Nobody can really replace that with 10 sacks a year. Aaron Donald was one of the best linebackers in NFL history. With the new rules, he did quite well. New York Yankees, Gerrit Cole will go to rehab until he uses double jaw surgery. He will be out at least half of the year with the rehab. And Juwan Howard is out at Michigan Wolverine basketball head coach after two lackluster seasons. And a mid-season brawl and medical issues earlier this year. The Eagles get Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Kenny Pickett. So the Pittsburgh Steelers are moving in a different direction. But Russell Wilson has a new quarterback. Take a break, come back in a while, come back in a minute or two after these strong words.
Listen to music from way back in the day, and you've been around a while. You've turned 70 this recent past year, is that correct?
Don't be telling people that. Don't be telling people that.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Your female listeners want to think you're still 23. But
yeah, right.
We'll let that go. Anyhow, the reason I bring it up is interesting phenomena. LeBron James has been in the league so long, 19 years, that he has played with something like 8 or 9 combinations where he has faced up against a father and a son, both of whom played in the NBA.
Yeah. Because LeBron was going to give up his time of NBA transition. That's why he saw so many father and son teams, because it was an NBA transition time period. That's all. Go ahead.
Well, he came in when he was young, and he's been in the league. I mean, very few people have a 19-year career. I think he started when he was 18 or 19. And when you say the league was in a transition, what do you mean by that?
I mean, the old guard, the old LA Lakers, Boston Celtics were moving. They were getting up in age.
I see.
When LeBron was coming in, he was 18, right? The Lakers and Celtics and they were the powerhouses of the league back then. Well, since then, the Lakers transition. Now it's the Warriors and the Milwaukee Bucks and the Sixers and the the new Boston Celtics, the Lakers are struggling. There's a new breed of a player now.
Yeah.
Giannis, Embiid, the Sixers, Curry for the Warriors, Anthony Davis with the Lakers is a whole new group of guys now.
Right. My understanding, the Warriors alone have 5 father-son combinations on the present team.
Yeah. Yeah,
Del Curry.
I believe the Lakers have 5 too, but I can't find them. I believe Lakers have 5 too.
I
can document the Warriors vibe, as evident. And it's really interesting because Gary Payton Jr. Is a almost identical twin to Gary Payton, the way he played. And I think Gary Payton number 2 has a better range. The Gary Payton number 1. I think Gary Payton had better feet than Gary Payton number 1. So, this is my opinion. I think Gary Payton 2 is a better player than Gary Payton 1.
I said, I mean, it took Gary II, Gary Jr., we can call him, a long time to find his feet in the NBA, so to speak. He really bounced around a number of teams and developmental league teams. But his dad, the Glove, is generally recognized as a great player.
Yeah, but he only played with one team. He only played for Seattle Supersonics.
Right. But again,
when you play with one team, there's stability there. When you bounce from one to the other, you have to change the form of their own, you have to form to their offensive style. That's the kind of thing you had to do for years and years. You had to change from.
But his skill set, correct me if I'm wrong, his skill set was not the equal of his father. He was, you know, he was not a great player. He had to develop. He had to develop through these various teams that he was with and really finally ripened with the last iteration of the Championship Warriors. I mean, he really seemed to have come into his own then.
Well,
and
I
not
think
before.
He was always there. I just feel like the words are brought out in him.
Right.
I told many people this many times. If you have a bad coaching staff, you cannot get the skills that you want to get out of a player. Gary Payton's skills are already there. It had to be coached out of him. Because Gary Payton, I say it again, he has better skills than his father. Way better skills than his father. Even that I'm using it. He has longer arms, quicker feet. Longer arms, quicker feet. And when you have longer arms, quicker feet, you catch anybody
right.
a breakaway.
Right.
He did a couple of times last week. Huh? I got a breakaway is usually 2 points. Now we're gonna pay. You better guarantee you better get dug and dug. So he will block you.
Well, the father, I mean, again, his name, the Glove, I mean, he's a legacy player. You know, that name is a historic name. I don't know that Gary the second is going to be such a, you know, a legacy player. And he has not transformed the game to the extent that his father did. I mean, his father would take control.
Jay Johnson and Stephen Curry on your team. Now, if he was on a team like Minnesota or LA Clippers, yeah, he might stand out. But because he's with Curry and Thompson and Green,
right.
There's no way he's going to stand out that team.
Okay. But also, after the Warriors, you know, he got a payday from Seattle, I think. And then the Seattle let him go, so the Warriors were able to get him back. If he was so wonderful, you would think Seattle would have hung on to him.
I mean, Portland was also going through transition too. Okay, yeah, this way. Leonard goes from Portland to Milwaukee. They were going through a transition period too.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't know what they they wanted on their team. It shows up on their record. Their record is under 500. And they kept Leonard and Payton. They'd be above 500, but they'd be above
So, go ahead.
Well, I think the kid Gary Payton a couple more years, I think he'll be all right. It is the injury that got his play timed out.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, that contributes to a person's legacy is their ability to stay healthy.
And the example that is Steph Curry being out with another ankle injury, which reoccurs again. And it amazes me how Curry can get all these ankle injuries and still do what he does. That amazes me.
Right.
Because most people get ankle injuries are usually done.
Right. Who holds the record for the longest NBA career? Is LeBron up there?
Well, I think he's knocking on the door. I think he's either really close.
Yeah.
I can look it up. He has to be really close. I think Kobe Bryant is another one, a long extended career. I think Kobe Bryant has 20 years too, so he's really close to Kobe Bryant era now.
Oh, here's the answer. Here's the answer. Vince Carter, 22 seasons in the league.
Well, that's right. The New Jersey Net. How many years?
22.
Oh, so he got 2 more years to go. I think LeBron will get the 2 years. It's just a matter of will the Lakers give him a contract. That's gonna be an interesting thing next year to see if he can break the record.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few other people, 21 years, Kevin Garnett, Dirk Nowitzki, 21 years. Robert Parrish, Kevin Willis, Kareem, 20 years. Kobe, 20 years.
20 years seem to be the threshold.
Right. Yeah, and LeBron has been healthy through almost all that time. He's been mostly injury free, isn't that correct?
All but the championship years in Cleveland. Other than that, yeah, he's healthier than that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, minor injury stuff. When he was in Cleveland, the first championship year. But other than that, he's been healthy ever since.
Yeah. Well, he's built like a brick house, as they say.
Yeah, a Mack truck.
Right.
I think the Lakers are gonna take the Warriors out. I really believe that. It's gonna be the battle of the bench. I don't think the Lakers or the Warriors are gonna get above the 9-10 playing,
but
I just gotta have a playing thing. And you know me, I am not fond of a playing game. I think that's a farce. It's a money grab. I just don't like the way they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a money grab, a complete utter money grab is what it is.
Now, if the Warriors don't make the play-in, or don't get past the play-in round, it would seem this would be kind of a whisper of their demise.
Well, I think that if the Warriors did not make the play-in game this year, you will see massive changes in the Warriors roster. If they do make the play-in, you will not see those changes. If they don't, you're going to see a massive overhaul.
Let me invite you to fill in the blanks. How massive do you think? Let me frame the question.
Well, it's gonna be a major.
Let me put it to you this. Do you see both Thompson and Green leaving?
I can see one or the other. I cannot see both of them. Because
between
Green,
the two,
Green is the defensive stalwart. And Thompson has finally found himself in the second string.
Right.
Second squad. I think he's finally found his niche in the second string. So either one, he can lose one, but he can't lose both of them. And you gotta know, Kuminga, why is Kuminga, Wiggins,
Moody,
and give it the crazy hair.
Kuzinski, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see them rebuilding around that unit?
Second unit.
Well, do you see that second unit being the future?
Yeah, the second unit is gonna be the one that's gonna take over the Warriors. That's with Curry,
right.
Curry and Green, millionaire next year. Either way, as I put the Kuminga, the Wiggins, the Moody, that's gonna be your new Warriors, your new starters.
Yeah. Now Kerr only has a 1-year extension on his career. I don't really see him committing to a rebuild.
Well, it's not a rebuild.
Well, no, it's a rebuild. You know, by moving your second team up to become the starters of the future. I don't see him doing that. I mean, he's been there for an eternity too, 20 years coaching, something like that.
I think it's 14 or 15. I think it's 14 or 15. He started a year after Curry there, right?
Right.
Because Curry was there under Mark Jackson regime. My guys were there 2 years.
Right.
So, as either 2008, 2009, it was late 2000, that Kerr came in. I can say one thing, if people can boo me all you want to, Mark Jackson made that team.
Right.
Let me explain the most in the grand of gold. The Golden State Warriors were one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA. Mark Jackson came there and said, okay, guys, you gotta change your tune here. We're gonna play defense. We're gonna play defense in New York, nigga, by the way. That's what he did. He turned the team around.
Right.
And made them play. If you didn't play defense, you sat the bench.
Right.
So within two and a half years, guess what? The Warriors became one of the upper tier defensive teams.
Right.
So when Steve Kerr walked in the door, he had to do a bunch of teaching Kerr to come on Jason. All right, did the hard work.
Right. Right.
Steve
Yeah, no, Mark Jackson doesn't.
He did a job of playing.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough credit.
Doing the greatest shooting guard ever.
Right.
And Stephen Curry, all he had to do was guide them in the right direction.
Right. Right. No, unfortunately, Mark Jackson does not get enough credit, and he left under a bit of a cloud with his religious stance, I think, which, you know, it's not to fault him for that, but he fell out on the other side of you know, so-called progressive culture.
Right.
And you know. And I think for that reason was not likely to get another coaching job. Although, you know, he resurfaced well. I mean, his broadcasting career came back.
Well, I like the way the Warriors handled that situation. It's okay to be who you are. It's okay to speak on the subject as it is. But to browbeat somebody like that. I just didn't like the way it was handled. And yes, Mark Jackson may have gone overboard with it too. But Mark Jackson is a very good coach.
Right.
My surprise is nobody else is beating him up. That's what worried me. I think that there was what they call a blackballing effect by the word. I didn't like that.
Well, you know, I think too, I mean, with his religious beliefs, which are very conservative, you know, and, you know, for players in the league who, you know, may be liberal or even libertine in their, you know, off-the-court conduct and personal choices, you know, there may not be a good meshing there, you know.
Well, let me ask this question. If there was a gay basketball player, what would Mark Jackson do?
I think that was a problem because there was a gay executive in the front office of the Warriors.
As a if there was a gay player on a team, what would he do then?
Well, that's a good question. Or, you know, again, a player who's having, you know, multiple children with multiple women or going to strip clubs and any of that, which, you know, may be, you know, part of the culture of our times. And that, you know, I mean, Mark Jackson is not simply a quiet believer. He gets out on street corners and preaches. And, you know, and
that's what religion is about. It's about teaching, right? If your religion is to stay silent, you're not doing your job.
Well, no, but not everybody has to be an evangelist. Some people can say, well, this is what I believe, and I'm keeping it to myself. And, you know, if you ask me, I'll tell you, but, you know, it's not, you know, people will take their religion in different ways. It's not my job to go, you know, convert the world or make disciples or whatever. You know, but again, when he's literally on the street corner preaching and evangelizing with a, you know, fairly fundamentalist point of view, you know, in this, you know, culture, which is in some ways opposite.
But those are the reasons.
I mean, right or wrong, I think.
Older now. A lot wiser now. I think it would be a different broadcast than what it was 20 years ago.
Right. And here's the thing, too. You know, what he had to contribute was the defensive orientation.
Yeah, New York Knicks way.
And the magic of the Warriors, you know, once he accomplished that foundation, then Steve Kerr was able to come in and, you know, put an offensive overlay over that. The question becomes, you know, has everybody caught up with, you know, the Mark Jackson school of defense. And as the Warriors transformed the game, they transformed the game largely through the three-point shot. Yes, they played defense, but their legacy contribution to the game has been the three-point shot, everybody moving to the outside. So if, you know, and Mark Jackson, I don't believe, was an offensive oriented player. His contribution was defense. And if that's all he brings in his skill set, would that be enough now? Again, many years down the road, what, however many years it's been since Steve Kerr was there, you know, to make him of contemporary value in the NBA.
Well, my next question is, Steve Kerr's reign, because the last 2 years has shown me that much,
right,
how much of it, and this is the last two or three years, so, are we at that crossroads again?
Well, it could well be that, you know, he, is tired, is old, has said what he was able to do. I'm looking here to see how long he's been with the Warriors.
Because of that 2 or 3 years, that's been very impressive.
Right.
To me.
Right.
If you had guys like Curry and Thompson and Green, I was heartbroken when they had Wiggins go. I thought Wiggins was going to be a good set, but
not Wiggins. Wiseman.
Wiseman. Anyway.
Yeah. So he's been with them 10 years, 2014. 10 years.
Yeah.
And you had
Mark,
said.
Well, Mark had. In the early 2000s, I don't know if that is like the middle 2000s. So, yeah. Alrighty.
Yeah, and anyhow, yeah, you had thought that he had lost the ear or the mind of the players, that after so many years they...
Yes.
That they had tuned him out. And the other thing is, we've talked about this, is he's not good with developing young talent. He hasn't, none of their draft picks have really panned out. I mean, almost all of them have been shipped out. And his whole success has been bringing people in from other teams. Historically.
That's true to a degree. But I thought the Wiggins team would bring that mold, but it just didn't happen.
No, Wiseman.
I mean, why keep doing Wiggins? Yeah.
Wiggins came over from
Minnesota
and found himself because he was try to
I'm
carry.
I'm very, very happy with it. Very happy with the way Wiggins is playing the last 2 or 3 weeks. Really. If he does that, back, I think he will. He's gonna be a bear. He can be a monster in the middle.
Right. But he's had issues. He's left for long periods for undisclosed reasons. The past 2 seasons, I believe.
Well, we gotta know the reason why. But the American media, thank God, has left it alone. Allegedly, his father has been very ill.
Right.
So he has to go home and take care of the news around, and as if it was because of his father's illness.
Kerr's career, he was an executive with the Suns for 6 years and has been the Warriors for 10.
We got Tony. Hey, what's up, Tony, in the house?
Hey, how are you guys?
All right. I just think that Sneaker maybe come to the end of the road.
It depends on how far they're going to go with this current regime. I mean, you know, they're big, you know, you get the feeling that one of their big three is not going to be coming back after this season. I think it basically comes down to either Thompson or Green, and Green's going to be tough to move because of his salary.
That's what I said. I said the same thing. Yeah.
Unless they do like a swap and trade or what have you, but a lot's going to have to go by how far they go this year. I mean, you know, I'll be honest. Minnesota, Denver have put themselves out there, but the regular season is such a bear. You really can't get
anyone game,
you know, especially with the NBA. You know, I don't want to say the regular season doesn't mean anything, but when it comes to the playoffs, it means a little bit, but not. It doesn't really have that big of a bearing, you know.
Tony,
and with that,
do you like to play the 8-9-10 playing game or not?
I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem, you know. If it generates, you know, if it generates what I mean, I think it's, you know, it is kind of interesting that you play all these games and then, you know, you're gonna get that fight for the last 2-3 spots anyway as the season goes along, and I don't have a problem with it per se, but it does sort of. In a sense, it does sort of bastardize the regular season, because you could have sort of a mediocre regular season, but you can make up for it in the last, and if you at least get in that 8-9 thing for the right to get the hell beat out you by the number one seed.
Yeah. This is a crazy time of the year, boy.
Well, if you're not, put it this way, I mean, you know, right now I'm, you know, I catch a little bit of the NBA, but I've basically been watching college balls since the conference tournaments started, and then everybody's going to be glued tomorrow around this time when the pairings come out.
3:00, yeah. Missouri Valley did it again. They gotta do something about number one seed. The conference winner should get automatic. What are you playing for?
Well, you know, look. Let's be honest. The conference tournament is twofold. It's so the conference can make a couple of extra bucks, and if some of the sort of it's basically for the bubble teams. But let's be honest. Missouri Valley is probably only going to get maybe one, maybe two.
They're gonna
probably get the one. So. It probably doesn't behoove them to see the number one seed get beat in the tournament, because I caught the tail end of the Memphis game the other night when Wichita State beat them, and you go by and you know, depending on what, you know, how you listen to these guys talking about who's a bubble team, who's not. they're basically saying they don't think Memphis is going to get in. But I'm looking 22-10, and you're not going to get into that. I know that they're like
a
little
like
over
North,
500
Norfolk,
in their conference.
Norfolk men are number one, and they got upset. Right? Okay, now Norfolk men are not going to get in.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's crazy now is it's not even an automatic for the NIT anymore now. Usually the NIT would
right.
automatically take the conference champion
right.
that doesn't make the tournament. So it's look, we already know that the tournament has become about the haves and the have-nots. You know, you're starting to see them, and even especially now that you see what the SEC and the Big Ten are trying to do on a football level. They've sort of already done that basketball-wise.
They're talking 14 teams now.
Yeah, well, a lot of it is their answer to NIL as well, but a lot of it is just, you know, they're just trying to, look, we've said this a long way, The usefulness or lack thereof of the NCAA gets smaller and smaller every day. I think one of the reasons why they get so hyped for the basketball tournament is because it's still their baby. Even with the remaining bowl games and all the other stuff, look, they make their money off of March Madness. That's just obvious. That's where they make most of their money. So they'll, you know, I think they're willing to take the hit football-wise as long as they're able to keep the tournament. Because in their eyes, I guess it sort of evens things out monetarily and attention-wise.
So who are you picking?
To me, you have to wait for the seedings to come out. I mean, you could speculate about, you know, number one seeds and all the other stuff. But until they actually come out, you really drive yourself nuts. I mean, I know where I'm at down here. A lot of people think UConn's going to get a number one seed, I'm not saying the number one overall. I'm just saying they may get, you know,
in a bracket, right?
They may get a number one. You know, they're more, you know, barring, and though it shouldn't have any bearing, barring on what they do today against Marquette, they probably should still get a number one seed, because to me it's about what you do for the season. You shouldn't be rewarded for the last 2 weeks of the year. To me, again, it's South Carolina's to lose. There's a lot can happen. You know, I will say there's a lot more open. You know, we're probably more. There's probably a better chance of seeing more upsets on the women's side than there are the men's side. I mean, you know, you're gonna get your men's game. You know, you got 12's gonna be the 5. To me, the best games are always the 8-9 games, because you basically got two teams that are relatively even, and those are usually the toughest ones to pick. But I know for me, over the last couple of years, I've watched more of the women's tournament than I have the men's tournament. The men's tournament's been okay, but see, it's funny. To me, the roles have changed. You know, the women's tournament over the years has always been so top heavy, and you didn't see the upsets. Now.
Right.
It's the other way around, where the men's tournament is now, it's all about the chalk, so to speak. I mean,
yeah.
nine-time, with the women, I know last year, I think two of the three seed, two ones,
yeah, well,
got to the final
four. Yeah, the ladies, three or four ones have always go out, three or four ones go out.
But they're starting, most of your upsets are in the first two rounds, but like once you get to the Sweet 16 or whatever, then the quote unquote cream comes to the top. The men's one, it's been back and forth. Although to me, I've always felt like once Butler scared the bejesus out of everybody a few years back, I think they made up in their minds that, you know, once you saw like Butler make their run and VCU make their run, I think they just said, you know what, enough of this, and you know, enough of this. But see, what's happening now on the good side, on the men's side, is that there's a lot more parity overall. You know, not everybody's going, you know, not everybody can go to Duke. Not everybody can go to UCLA. Not everybody can go to Carolina. You know, you're seeing Houston doing what they're doing. You know, you saw Loyola a few years back, you know, make their little run or what have you. So
MBV, they moved it into the Midwest Conference. They disappeared, man.
Well, I'm anxious to see once a final decision is made on the late Pac-12, how that's going to change, because that could have a ripple effect on some of these other quote-unquote mid-major conferences, because unless they're going to try to resurrect the Pac-12, I would think the WCC and the other West Coast mid-majors, yeah, they may wind up getting a boost because the fact that the Pac-12 is basically dead may wind up opening it up for some of those mid-majors, especially ones on the West Coast.
What do Washington State and Oregon, what do they do?
Your guess is as good as mine. That's why I was saying it's going to be interesting to see where they wind up going next, because more than likely when next year's tournament comes around, they're going to be somewhere else. You know, the Pac-12 will be, you know, the Pac-12 has basically got one more, you know, nail in their coffin, you know, after this tournament. But, you know, pretty much after this tournament ends, that's when I think you'll start to see what's going to happen alignment-wise. And the crazy thing is it's probably going to be more predicated on football than it is basketball.
I have really trouble with the 7 basketball coaches that got fired this week.
That's about the norm. It's the norm to be quite honest. That's about the norm. It's become a standard operating procedure now with more so basketball than football. I mean, you see the stuff with the football where guys are getting bought out
but basketball, I didn't even have a basketball like that.
I think we noticed it a little bit more this year. But now, if you look back to last year, you had about the same amount of guys, changing addresses and what have you. It's just that there seems to be a little more longevity in basketball than football. You know, with football, if you don't do anything within 3 years, they're almost willing to get rid of you. I think I think Jimbo Fisher is a perfect example. I mean, he's based, you know, he went from Florida State to Texas A&M to out of a job.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been about, and remember, all during that period of time, if I remember correctly, during that, say, 5-6 year stretch, he played for the national championship, had some decent, you know, upsets and knocked off a number one or whatever. But now he's basically at home counting his money now.
What do you think about Harbaugh going to San Diego?
He's Rick Pitino in khakis, basically. I put it this way. I think he's an NFL coach. He was able to do some things college wise, and he sort of made his reputation by doing that when he was at San Diego. But I've always looked at him as an NFL coach. You know, I think within the next, you know, few, I think he, depending on who San Diego winds up signing, because they basically let go, to me, all of their weapons in free agency, letting Eckler go. And I was actually surprised they traded Allen. That came out of nowhere. But, it took him about 2-3 years before he had the Niners going. I think it'll play out the same way in San Diego. The thing with them is that they've been a tease over the last few years, and I don't know if it's that they've been a bit overrated over the years, or they just, you know, it's this way. We'll know. I think we're going to know within the next couple of years as to, is this a good team, or were they just overrated just from the start?
Well, A-Bear is a little bit overrated. I think he's a good quarterback, but I don't think he's all that.
Yeah. Put it this way. He's not Daniel Jones, but he's probably not Patrick Mahomes either. So he's somewhere in between there. He's better than that. But see, he's going to be given an opportunity, unlike a lot of other quarterbacks, you know, i.e., you know, Justin Fields and others. You know, to me, that's one of the more interesting ones. Where he's going to wind up in 2024 is going to be a story in and of itself. I mean, and you know, we've already seen an incredible turnover. I think Russell will do well in Pittsburgh.
What are the New York Football Giants doing?
No, they're standard operating procedure, you know, they won't admit buyer's remorse with Jones, but I think let's put it this way, this is probably let's just call it what it is. They put all their eggs in one basket, and now they got to lie with it. And
but Tony, I won't forget this. I'm eating my lunch, and I had the radio on, and they said, Saquon Barkley is going to the Eagles. I said, what are you doing?
He's going to some place that appreciates him. The Giants and their fans never appreciated him, plain and simple. And someone needs to tell Tiki Barber to shut the entire hell up. Not a lot of it is, you know, it's funny. Here's a guy that trashed the organization pretty much his whole career, and now all of a sudden he becomes this shill. I think Barkley will be fine. You know, he's playing. You know, he's already, look, if nothing else, he's already gotten a better. He's already got an upgrade with his quarterback. So yeah, and see, the thing about him is, you got to remember, he's one of those all-purpose guys. So he doesn't necessarily have to have 1,000 yards, but you know.
I believe that the New York Football Giants can be in last place in the East. And they keep moving. I'm going to be in last place in the East
unless the, you know, Washington Traveling All Stars and Motor Kings beat them to it. You know, they're not, you know, they don't, to me, they're not that much better. And they and their quarterback is a lot to be desired too. As a matter of fact, he's a free agent, so they still need. There's rumors that he might be getting traded or what have you. I mean, I think they're going to struggle to be a 500 team at the very least. You know,
if I get the first chance I get, I am out of Dallas.
But no, you got to remember, that's a long-term deal, so he's not going anywhere anytime soon unless they trade him. Just one last thing with the Giants. They didn't even try to replace Barkley with anybody decent. That's the thing that gets me. So you put it this way, even if he, you know, misses, say, 3-4 games, I'm willing to bet you he still has a better year than whoever the Giants have or will draft in 2024.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Philadelphia Eagles have really, really, really improved their stock this year. And
well,
I believe they are a real threat to win the Super Bowl this year.
Well, they got to make sure they take care of the division first. And I agree, but don't take the loss of Mr. Kelce lightly. That's a huge hold. I mean, I'm sure they'll fill it.
That's
a big hold. And Fletcher Cox retiring. That's a big hold too. I mean, they're still. I don't think they're as bad as how their season ended, but they've got some. You know, they still got some work to do. Getting Barkley definitely helps, but when you lose two Pro Bowlers like that, you got to make sure that, you know, you got to make sure that you complete that. And, you know, Kelce, you could make the argument that Kelce was arguably the best center in all of football, not just in the NFC. So that's a huge hole that's not a loss that you can take lightly. And also with Cox as well. So, You gotta hope for their sakes that they go out and get somebody or draft some folks that are whatever. I mean, they're still probably it's still probably them and Dallas fighting it out for that division, but they still got a little work to do. They still got some work to do.
Do they have Matt Patricia as their defensive coordinator?
I think they cut him loose, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Well, what's funny to me is that he was always an offensive guy, if I remember correctly. I never quite understood why an offensive guy became your head defensive coach. But you know, I stopped trying to figure out what a lot of these front offices do, especially in the NFL, where you know, even as successful as the Eagles have been, the Eagles still are basically try to play football's version of Moneyball. And if they should happen to
As I was getting ready to go,
to make it really as simple as possible. Look, every year the revenue for the NFL goes up. You know, I'm sure, you know, like if you ever actually sit and watch when Goodell does his quote unquote State of the Union thing,
yeah.
It's basically saying, well, we made X, you know, we made so and so last year, this year we made X amount of money. Now, coming off of a season where the Super Bowl was the most watched TV event of all time, one would think that that money will trickle down, surprise, surprise, to all the teams. So basically, there's more room. So every team basically gets a little bump in the salary cap. Now, unlike some of these other sports, if teams are willing to go out and get guys, we see this every off season, especially this time of the year with in March, where teams make moves money wise. I mean, you look at what Buffalo did. Buffalo basically got cut two of their highest paid players, aren't talking about bringing them back. Now, it's funny. Now very quietly this week, Kansas City re-signed Chris Jones to a multi-year deal. But a lot of that had to do with the fact that Mahomes has said, hey, I'll take less money as long as we bring, take some off the top so we can bring our boy back so we can try to three, so we can try to the three-peat.
Team is ever three-peat. Well,
We've seen teams come close, we've seen teams win three NFL championships, but not. But since the Super Bowl era, we have yet to see three teams win. You know, we've seen teams that have come close, but no cigar. And probably the closest we've seen over the years were the Niners basically lost to the Giants in the late 90s when they were trying to three-peat. The Broncos basically what's happened with a lot of these teams that have tried to three-peat is that they were in the midst of blowing the team up or extenuating circumstances. Now the Cowboys are a perfect example when they did the back to back, and then Jimmy Johnson, but now to their credit, even with Boo Boo the Fool as the head coach, they did get to the NFC Championship game. So it's the thing. Now we've seen. We saw Buffalo go to the Super Bowl four straight years and lose, but we have yet to see a team win three straight Super Bowls. KC's got as good a shot as anybody because their quarterback is still, they're still relatively young and all of their positions. Most importantly, Mahomes, barring something really crazy injury wise or what have you, they've got as good a shot as anybody to three-peat.
The question because I've been thinking about this for all these teams has been in the bowl, the Cleveland Browns.
The Lions.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
Three teams now.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, and you know, and Jacksonville is still a babe in there. I mean, it's, you know, look, the line, you know, put it this way.
The Lions
are now, well, yeah, the, well, let's put it this way. The Lions are probably, of those two, the Lions probably have the most upside if they, you know, if they could ever hose down their coach for going for it on fourth down every on every instance. Maybe, you know, maybe they maybe they get there. But now with Cleveland, a lot's going to depend on Deshaun Watson's health.
That division. Oh my, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Oh my, I would not want to be in that division.
And now Lamar has got a motivated Derrick Henry as well.
Yep.
You know. It's going to be something, you know, looking in the, you know, you're getting sort of a hot stove version of the NFL now with the free agency. And now it's a little different though with football because you know, to me, one guy doesn't make the big difference. Although, if it's a series of moves that will usually do it a lot of times. Although I think there are situations where teams could maybe be, say, a player or two away. That's why the Derrick Henry to Baltimore is very intriguing.
I mean, that's a big thing because it balances out Jackson's passing attack. You got a threat back there. You're not gonna crowd the line.
And see, you know, we've all known that he's become a much better passer over the years, and I think they're going to see even more of that. But like you said, yeah, they're not going to be able to load up the box with Henry. And here's the thing: he doesn't necessarily have to have a dominant type season for them to win.
No.
You know, if he just basically does what he usually does, let's put it this way: if he averages say 4 or 5 a carry, then that makes them all the more dangerous. Now, their defense now has definitely shown that it's better than average now. So, let's put it this way: they're, you know, and again, it's, you know, a lot can happen between now and training camp, but on the surface, they have to be looked at as a favorite, at the very least, to repeat in the division.
That is a garland division, but I would not want to be in that division.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the unknown factor is going to be Pittsburgh. Because now I personally think well, put this way, Russ is still the unknown factor. I personally think he still has at least a one good year left in him, and I think him and Tom, you know, he has a coach that's not trying to sabotage him. Number one,
I believe.
Well, to me, I think the football gods have a way of evening that out. Now, you know, they're still up in the air in regards to their whole quarterback situation. But see, when you make it personal, like Peyton did, it comes back to haunt you. It comes back to haunt you. And I think while everyone wants to talk about how the Wilson contract will hurt them over the years, Peyton's going to do even worse because he's not doing anything to address it. He's made it more about himself than about the franchise.
Now I understand what David Whitney was talking about. So, okay, I get it now. I get what this fool is doing.
Well, and it also sort of lets you know why it took him a little while for him to get back into the coaching ranks as well, because you got to know that that he's burned some bridges over the years.
Somewhere.
You know, so who's way? As our buddy Mike likes to say, you know, karma may be late, but it's never missed an appointment. And he's got a 10 o'clock coming anytime soon. Right about
yes, sir. All right, man. What you got cooking for the week?
I'm gonna try to get it in there in the next couple of days. Nice. I didn't realize it had that many. Be interesting to see.
Somebody told me the records had the same name. I can't find records.
Well, off the top of my head, I don't know off the top of my head in regards to their roster, but yeah, with the Warriors, it's pretty cut and dry because all of those guys are main ingredients, you know, to their success. So it sort of sticks out a little bit more, but I mean, technically, the baseball season starts this week over in South Korea, so you know we'll keep an eye on that. But I mean, you know, look, let's be honest. This is all about the NCAAs right about now, especially after tomorrow night. This time, we'll know the field, we'll know who's in, who's out, and again, like I said, I'll watch the men, but I have to admit, I will probably watch more of the women's games than I will the men's games.
I hope SRU gets a bid to the AIT because they had a fairly decent year this year.
Did they finish over 500 in the league?
Yeah.
Oh, they got a shot. I mean, they got a shot.
It's really top heavy this year.
It's unfortunately, with a lot of those conferences, if they could take away their automatic bid, they would. But you know, they have to get somebody else.
Why do something have automatic bids?
It's the conferences. All the conferences have an automatic bid for the most part. It's now. It basically comes down to who the NCAA leans toward. Do they lean toward the tournament champ, or do they lean toward the regular season? Now, to me,
it
should be the regular season. But you know, again, for as the great philosophers from Wu-Tang said, you know, cash money rules all around us. So, you know, it's we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, it's you know, put it this way. If you can't watch basketball this time of the year, then you're probably a football fan.
Go Tigers!
I was gonna beat the Wolfpack
tonight.
Yeah, I, you know, it's, it's, uh, you know, I'll definitely be flipping around with all the games and stuff. But yeah, once we see, I probably right around about this time tomorrow, we should know or have an idea of who the number one seeds are, and then all the other. But yeah, well, look. Somebody worthy is going to get snubbed. Somebody who shouldn't be in the tournament is going to get an automatic bid. Yeah, this if this thing plays out every year, there's going to be Jay Billis and Seth Davis and all the other ones are going to be whining about how this team should be in and how this team shouldn't be.
All right, man.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, man. All right. Let's take a break. Come back and wrap it up tonight.
Thank you.
guy number two, number two, number three, North Carolina number four, Tennessee number five, and Arizona number six. Mindy Clark, her team beat that night over Nebraska. They play again today for the tournament championship. Tucker, the Bayley, the LSU, 79-72 for the SEC title. Fighting Irish, Lady by Irish, they go to ACC tournament and they beat Ball Tech. The SEC Players of the Year is SEC Women's Award Basketball Award Player of the Year, Angel Reese, LSU. Defensive Player of the Year, Kamala Cardoza, University of Carolina. Coach of the Year, Dawn Staley, University of Carolina. President of the Year, Makita Williams, LSU. Sixth Man of the Year, Nalina Carrera, University of Florida Gators. Athlete of the Year, as the my man Billy, University of Missouri. The ladies' bowl, last bowl of the year, in South Carolina, Iowa, USC, Stanford, Texas, and UCLA, number six. As we go out to the air, the ladies' Spartans are playing the blue, the Our Bison, as they take on the Bison in the second period. Norfolk ladies, Spartans at 33, Our Bison at 30, going into the fourth quarter. That's the MEAC game. I gotta get out of here before we do the BDA. PGA, last week it was Arnold Palmer Invitational in Orlando, Florida. Scotty Scheffler gets by William Clark and has again this week at the Players Championship. Last week it was the Blue Bay LPGA Classic in the People's Republic of China. American State Charge, Billy Tardy and Sarah Simmons win by 4 strokes. This week is the Perio Sierra Pack Championship in California for Power Birdies. WTA, they end up in Indian Wells. Youngerman loses for only the second time in many, many years. Last week, it was a Shriner 2500 in Phoenix, Arizona. Christopher Bell crossed the finish line with Chris Mosier and Ty Gibbs second and third. Then we get the Phoenix 500, Bristol Motor Speedway to the Z. IndyCar is virtual Grand Prix of St. Paul, Florida. St. Petersburg, Florida, excuse me. And last week at Formula One, Max Verstappen keeps running on. The first race, he wins the Jeddah Bahrain Grand Prix, so Max is on his way to win number four in a row. We'll see. Four in a row. As we count down the fourth quarter, the Our Bison, they're taking the lead over the ladies' Barnett. minute to go in the third quarter. See you next week. What, who plays where, what, when? Thank you for coming today. I'll see you next week. Same bad time. Same bad day. Have a good day, bad day. Wear your green tomorrow. I'll take you guys out later. Good night and good day.